Republicans in Congress are not rallying behind George Bush's election year call to cut two Social Security benefits. One is Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. He says he has no plans to pursue these proposals. Grassley has jurisdiction over Social Security. He made clear the administration proposals would not be on the year's agenda. Bush had suggested eliminating a $255 lump sum death benefit and monthly survivor benefits. Grassley calls the money a pittance for widows and widowers and a modest benefit for kids who've lost a parent. Bush today defended his plan to trim Medicare spending. In the budget he just sent Congress, he says it's a reasonable effort to rein in the cost of a program that's growing too fast. And he told a business group in New Hampshire critics portraying the spending plan as a big cut are wrong. Bush says he aims to save $36 billion over 5 years, mostly by reducing payments to hospitals and other health providers, but he says that'll just slow down Medicare spending growth by 0.4%. Also today, Bush signed the measure squeezing $39 billion from Medicare, Medicaid, and a number of other programs. Indicted Congressman Tom DeLay, forced to step down as the number two Republican in the House, was given a coveted seat on the Appropriations Committee. DeLay also claimed a seat on the subcommittee overseeing the Justice Department, which is currently investigating lobbyist Jack Abramoff and his dealings with lawmakers. And the subcommittee also has responsibility over NASA, which is a top priority for DeLay, since the Johnson Space Center is located in his district in the Houston area. This is Air America Radio News.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Wasn't it great to hear Janine on the program tonight on Majority Report? Yeah, I love Sam. I love Sam Cedar. He is my main man. But God, it was good to hear Janine again. As a matter of fact, I heard her say something at one point in the program. I guess it was around about 8:30, and she had a guest on. And Janine said, liberals create a moral universe. And then conservatives come along and dismantle it. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Everything that liberals have done in this country has been based on morality, ethical behavior. I'm not talking about a person's personal foibles. Come on. I'm talking about the political structure of this country. Everything that is enjoyed in terms of social safety net, or however you want to phrase it, is a result of efforts by liberals. And a lot of that social safety net, people aren't even aware that it exists to save capitalism, like the FSLIC or the FDIC or the Securities and Exchange Commission, all that stuff. Those are all liberal ideas. We went over that list one night. I'm not going to bore you with it tonight. But I just loved the way Janine said that. Liberals create a moral universe, and conservatives come along and destroy it. And what else did she say? Anybody that supports Bush is a dick?
Right. Cheney.
Yeah, okay.
A dick Cheney.
Yeah, I got you. Anyway, it was good to hear Janine again. God, I love hearing her on the radio. We want to start very quickly. By the way, thanks for taking a break from the Grammys to do some serious Bush administration deconstruction tonight. And speaking of music, don't forget, Friday night we're going to be, all the bumper music is going to be Driving and Crying and Kevin Kenny. So that ought to be fun. Sometimes we have fun on this. I have fun every night. But I know I drive some of you crazy. I scare the hell out of some of you. I know that. I scare me sometimes. Anyway, this is from the press briefing on Monday. This is Wednesday, and we just had too many things to do in the past couple, 3 days. But this is an exchange between the doyen of American journalism, Helen Thomas, and this half-witted, jackass, simple Scotty McClellan. And you just got to love how Helen Thomas hammers Scotty with the N-word, as in Nixon. She begins by saying, Scott, does the president think he should obey the law? He put his hand on the Bible twice, Scott, to uphold the Constitution. Wiretapping is not legal under the circumstances without a warrant.
Well, I guess you didn't pay attention to the Attorney General's hearing earlier today, because he walked through very clearly the rationale behind this program. And Helen, I think you have to ask, are we a nation at war?
That's not the question.
No, that is the issue here.
The point is, there are means for him to go to war, get a warrant, just spy on people.
Enemy surveillance is critical to waging and winning war. It's one of the traditional tools of war.
He doesn't have running room.
And the Attorney General outlined very clearly today how previous administrations have used the same authority and cited the very same authority. And we're going to continue doing everything we can within our power to protect the American people. This is a very different circumstance, and you know that.
Quacking quackaroo. It's difficult to hear Helen Thomas because this evil bastard McClellan is always over-talking her. But there sits this... This hard-ass journalist who happens to be, how old is Helen Thomas? In her 80s. I know she's well into her 80s. Hard-ass journalist. Asking questions that very few people in that room have the courage to ask. You know, all the blow-dried hair boys from the network news, all the underpaid and overworked writers from the various newspapers. But here's Helen Thomas, who just kicks his ass so hard. You know, when Scott leaves that room every time Helen Thomas is there, he must go right to the men's room, drop his pants, and see how bad the bruises are from her kicking his butt. Good for you, Helen Thomas. But her last question, if they broke the law, you know what happened to Nixon when he broke the law. I love it. I love it. You go, Helen. You go, Helen. Would that we had more Helen Thomases. for those of you who have been trying to get to the Loose Change website and get this movie, Loose Change, this hour and 20 long documentary on the attack on this country engineered by the Bush crime family, I have some news for you here. This is from Rick in Nashville. He writes, and for any truth seeker out there who'd like to help spread the word about 9/11, on the Loose Change website, you can get a spindle of 100 of these DVDs for just $50, $2 a piece to hand out to everyone you know. I've gone through almost two spindles already. I even leave them in the seat pockets on airline flights I take. And the website is loosechange911.com. $2 a piece, huh? All right. This is astonishing. You talk about just absolutely stuffing our faces in it. Tom DeLay, who is a criminal, a pissant, a Nazi, and someone who supports the idea of child prostitution, as you know, is indicted by a prosecuting attorney in Texas. He was forced to step down from his position of Speaker of the House. Oh, I know, Hastert is the Speaker, but no, he's not. Tom DeLay. Hastert is just Tom DeLay's little meat puppet. But DeLay had to step down, right? Guess what these Republican bastards in the House have done? They've given him a couple of seats. One on the Appropriations Committee, okay? He also got a seat on the subcommittee overseeing the Justice Department, which is currently investigating this other Nazi, Jewish Nazi, believe it or not, Jack Abramoff, and his dealings with Tom DeLay. So Tom DeLay, why did I mention Abramoff's religion? Because he uses it. He's adopted this pious ass attitude now. Oh, I'm an observant Jew. Oh, I'm an Orthodox Jew. Just like this Christian jackass up in Kentucky, Tennessee? I don't know what. The guy was indicted on all sorts of fraud counts. And he winds up getting a little radio program where he praises Jesus all day. I hate hypocrites, man. I don't give a damn if they're Muslim, Jewish, Christian. I don't care. Abramoff is a hypocrite. If there is a God, God's going to pinch his head off, kick it into hell where the demons can play soccer with it. That's why I mentioned his religion. So here, DeLay now is on the subcommittee that oversees the Justice Department, whatever that means. And, of course, the Justice Department is currently, quote, investigating, end quote, this influence peddling scandal that involves every single Republican in Washington, D.C., and no Democrats. And the number one whore on this list is Tom DeLay. Just a cheesy street whore. So here he sits on this committee now. How about this? Now, he was able to get on the Appropriations Committee. He was a member of that committee until he became a majority leader in 2003. He got back on it because of a vacancy created after the resignation of Randy Duke Cunningham, a Republican from California. Cunningham, of course, pled guilty in November to charges of accepting almost $3 million in bribes. And his ass is off to prison. Tom, when you go to jail, I don't get into Schadenfreude, however the hell you pronounce it, very often, but I will on the day that you go to jail. I'm going to drink an extra couple of glasses of wine that night, you pig. So here he sits, DeLay. This is how the Republicans, oh, yeah, well, we want to reform. Yeah, we got to clean up the scandal here. You know, we inherited this from those Democrats, yeah. You think that story's bad enough about DeLay sitting on the Appropriations Committee and the Subcommittee Overseas Justice Department? I've got one for you coming back. Very quick little story here about John Boehner. And I know, a lot of people write me and say, well, is it pronounced Boehner? To me, it's Boehner. Boehner. John Boehner.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Scott in Michigan emails in and says the DVDs that the 9/11 site, Loose Change site, has for sale will only play in a DVD-ROM on a computer. It says this right at the website, and it's due to, Scott says, due to a production error. Well, I don't know. It's a way to get them if you want to get them, and God knows you can't get them any cheaper than that. The Tom DeLay thing is bad enough. That's just Republicans telling the American public we can go fornicate ourselves. They don't care. You know, these people just they don't live in that moral space that Jeanine was talking about that liberals create. They live in a cat litter box that desperately needs a sifting. That's where they live. But John Boehner, the new House Majority Leader, is renting his apartment from a lobbyist. His Washington apartment. That's where he takes the interns. He's renting it from clients who are from a lobbyist whose clients have direct stakes in legislation that Boehner has co-written and that he oversees as chairman. Boehner is the chairman of the Education and the Workforce Committee. Now, the lobbyists are John D. Milne and Milne's wife, Deborah R. Anderson. Milne's clients, including restaurant chains and health insurance companies, hired him to lobby on issues that go right to the heart of Boehner's work, including, you know, this refusal to for the Congress to pass minimum wage increases. Do you ever wonder why they can't get off? What is it, 515? What is it, 515 an hour, Kathy? Or it's been about 3 years since I worked for minimum wage. What is it, about 515 an hour? You ever wonder why they can't move off of that? It's because of Boehner and this guy Milne, the lobbyist. They work against minimum wage increases. They work in favor of small business tax breaks. Now, what does that mean? You think to yourself, well, doesn't a small business deserve a tax break? Well, do you deserve a tax break? You pay to play in this country. For Christ's sake, why is that so hard? And what kind of taxes, you know, do small businesses pay? And don't send an email and whine about how much tax you have. Kathy and I owned a business at one time. We know exactly what small businesses pay in taxes. And it's chicken chump change. Jesus. Tax-free savings accounts to help cover insurance costs. Oh, yeah, that's going to work. All the tax-free health insurance accounts do is put a lot of money into the hands of the Wall Street crowd again, into the money manager or the money, the funds that the money managers get to take a chunk out of. Come on, tax-free health accounts, my ass. This is what Milne and his wife Deborah Anderson do. This is what they lobby for, and Boehner rents an apartment from them. Now, in the weeks that led up to the Republican leadership elections, Boehner assured the other Republicans, the other whores in that in the House, that all his relationships were ethical. And he campaigned on a platform of change and reform, right? This is a guy, you know, if lung cancer doesn't kill him, skin cancer is going to. This is a guy who sucks down cigarettes the way you and I suck down, I don't know, what do we suck down? Air. But he also, he loves that tan, you know, and he's either going to die of lung cancer or skin cancer. But in the meantime, he's got a great tan, right? And a cigarette's a great prop. I don't know. I smoked for enough years. Now, according to a statement issued by Boehner's office, by his spokesman, a guy named Don Seymour. Don Seymour says, John Milne does not lobby John Boehner on any issue and has not lobbied him on any issue during the time period in which John has been renting the property. Oh, you son of a bitch. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. Oh, my God. How long has Boehner been in Washington, and how long has Boehner lived in this apartment? It's just astonishing, isn't it? They really, truly don't care. Now, for you Republicans out there, who love graft and corruption and lies and sneakiness and deceit, this is your guy. This is your guy. For you voters in Ohio who put this pig into office, this is your guy. You love him, right? Don't you love him? Don't look at me. You know, I didn't vote for this half-wit. But, you don't like this, you real conservatives? Well, then why do you send a pig like this to slop at the trough? Why do you do that? Did Jesus appear to you in a dream and tell you to send Boehner off to Congress so the queers can't get married? Is that what it is? I don't get you people. I really don't. Anyway, referring back to what Janine said tonight, liberals create a moral universe. Conservatives come along and crap all over it. That's not what you said. Dismantle it. I like crap all over it better. No offense, Janine.
Keep your contributions by your side.
Strong man, tough man.
Could be a winner, boy, and move quite well.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct.
Oh, Jesus!
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Ah, my arthritis hurts so much, when I hit the ball, the pain hit me.
Arthritis pain can ruin your tennis game. That's why you need Capsaicin Cream, the brand pharmacists recommend most. Because its relief starts strong and gets stronger each time you use it. Relief so effective.
I can't believe it. I can't feel the pain. I'm stunned.
You've got to feel it for yourself. Capsaicin Cream, relief beyond belief.
My backhand is back.
now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Yeah, if you are doing both this program tonight and the Grammys, you know that you too just won Song of the Year. Sometimes you can't make it on your own. I'm glad to hear that. The other little item here from the world of Bush criminality, George Deutsch, this appointee at NASA, I think he was a recess appointee. He's the one who told public affairs workers to limit reporters' access to a top climate scientist who was trying to warn everybody that the Bush crime family is lying in its assessment of global warming. And this is the little punk ass that told a web designer to add the word theory at every mention of Big Bang, which is ludicrous because no scientist leaves the word off. But I get this guy's 24, and I guess it just never occurred to him that it's referred to in scientific circles as the Big Bang theory of creation or of the instant the universe was formed, whatever. Just another little pissant that was given a position over his betters and his superiors because he happened to be a Bush supporter and a Bush fundraiser and somebody who worked on the Bush inaugural committee. Now, Deutsch's resignation came on the same day that officials at Texas A&M University confirmed that he was a lying bastard. He put on all of his resumes that he graduated from Texas A&M with a degree in journalism. He did no such thing. It's just another Republican punk-ass liar. They start so young now, don't they? Probably the head of the College Republicans somewhere. But he goes to Texas A&M. The university said, yeah, he was a student here, but he never graduated. Now, his resignation came after a week here in which the New York Times ran an article about how many agency scientists, NASA scientists, and mid-level public affairs personnel were said that political pressure was applied to them to limit discussions uncomfortable to the Bush administration, limit discussions of topics that were uncomfortable to the Bush administration, particularly global warming. You see what they do. Deutsch, who, again, I say he's 24, and they put him in a position over scientists twice his age who busted their asses working in the field of science. And they put this punk in. He was offered a job as a writer and editor in NASA's public affairs office in D.C. last year after working on Bush's reelection campaign and inaugural committee. Woo! But he, you know, he listed on his resume, I've got a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism, class of 2003, Texas A&M. Lying little bastard. New York Times tried repeatedly to get in touch with Mr. Deutsch, but he doesn't answer his emails or his phone anymore. Every single Republican office holder, whether he's elected or she's elected, whether he or she is appointed, every single one of them is a liar. A liar. This involves, for the most part, James Hansen, the client, a climate scientist, and several public affairs officers who said that this little Deutsch bastard was trying to limit Dr. Hansen's speaking and interviews on the threats posed by global warming. And yesterday, Hansen said that the questions about Deutsch's credentials were important, but were a distraction from the broader issue of political control of scientific information. Hansen said of the punk, he's only a bit player. The problem is much broader and much deeper, and it goes across agencies. That's what I'm really concerned about. He went on to say, on climate, the public has been misinformed and not informed. The foundation of a democracy is an informed public, which obviously means an honestly informed public. That's the big issue here. The foundation of a dictatorship or Nazism or totalitarianism is an ill-informed or uninformed public. That's the issue here, Dr. Hansen. And I think that's what Dr. Hansen's struggling against. These Nazi bastards are trying... You've seen it. You've been reading the articles. You know what I'm talking about. The Interior Department, is that where the National Park Service resides? The Interior Department has forced the the people at Grand Canyon to put on display in their little gift shop books that say the Grand Canyon was created 5,000 years ago by Noah's flood. Yeah. Jesus. God. The dumbing down. Now, just a couple more things here on the... we're going to get to this insulting cartoons to Muslims. We're going to get to it. Email from Bill in South Carolina. He says, why would anyone send Bush to the funeral of a great civil rights leader if they wanted him to feel comfortable? Bill writes, I don't get it. Did they actually think the people involved in the movement would pretend he isn't a racist? And Bush, fresh from running two campaigns in which he disenfranchised black voters and then played guitar while the poor died in New Orleans? Did they think members of the movement would be as eager to play Let's Pretend as our Republican congressman and our whole bag media? He'd be equally out of place, Bill writes, at a Mensa conference or an Alcoholic Anonymous meeting. Would an IQ over 40 or an honest pledge of sobriety be equally insulting and rude? Why doesn't Karl Rove send him off to an event where he'd more likely fit in, like an all-you-can-snort buffet at a crack house? Or better yet, a Klan meeting. What the hell is wrong with our country? That's from Bill in South Carolina. Yeah, sure. You betcha. Why is anybody surprised? There sat that unconscious bastard sitting behind people who were eulogizing a woman who truly represented the civil rights movement. Okay, I know. She wasn't Martin Luther King. She was his wife. I understand. But she kept the torch burning, didn't she? Didn't she keep the dream alive since 1960, by God, 8? You can make all kinds of arguments, and I've made them. About her sons and daughters being just, jerks. But it wasn't her sons or daughters' funeral. It was her funeral. But what did they expect? They put Bush up there on the stage. I said the other night, I really admire and respect the ability of African Americans in a situation like that to hold their tongue. To not stand up and say, you evil white devil, get the hell out of here. Get out of here! I really respect that. I really respect that. But the black folk in attendance didn't do that. Yeah, why send him? Regarding the King funeral coverage, Brad in Mainz, Germany, writes, in Central Europe, CNN International's coverage of the King funeral showed only Bush making a few lame comments and then waiting after each one for applause that was deafening in its silence. In the report I saw, Brad writes, CNN showed none of the other speakers or the long, loud applause they received. As a result, the European audience was unable to discern the coldness with which our beloved president was received, nor, of course, the level of dissent and resentment which is rising in America each day. The message is controlled here also. As always, thanks to you guys for getting the truth out. Air America is the new Radio Free Europe. That's from Brad, and his last name in Mainz in Germany. Lenny, such language. Please remind that bony-ass Kate O'Byrne bitch that Jimmy Carter is the first president in modern times to be a Nobel Peace Prize recipient. The right wing couldn't hold a candle to Jimmy's contribution to the global community. What Lenny in Palm Springs is referring to, of course, is Kate O'Byrne or Kate O'Byrne or Kate or whatever the hell. And she is an ugly woman. I'm sorry. I'm certainly no jewel to look at either, but I don't do television. You know, they stick her out there, this prunish, lemon-sucking-looking woman, to snarl up her lips and make condescending, patronizing, nasty comments about the way a funeral is conducted that is none of her damn business. Reggie, who is not Reg, not from TV News Lies, but Reggie identifies himself as a Southern black man. He writes, the message boards are overflowing with comments attacking comments made by the people at the eulogy that were critical of the Bush administration's policies during Mrs. King's funeral. The sentiment seems to focus on how inappropriate it was to use a funeral as a forum for social and political views. Let's first remember whose funeral it was. Dr. and Mrs. King earned the right to have their legacies remembered through the voices of those willing to speak truth to power. That was their life devotion, after all. The black church has always been used as a safe haven for expressing dissent, discussing relevant social issues, and for forming political movements out of the view of hostile white Southerners. Only those lacking this historical perspective are bothered by what happened yesterday. What better way to commemorate the life works of Mrs. King than to pass the torch by peacefully reminding the president that our house needs fixing? There's Reggie, who is from Alabama, born in New Orleans, 9th Ward, 1950. Thanks for writing, Reg. Bad, just have to wait. Forgetting folks are too broke to evacuate. Niggas starving and they dying of thirst. I really had to go and check on them refineries first. Making a killing off the price of gas. He would have been up in Connecticut twice as fast. After all that we've been through, nothing's changed. You can call Red Cross for the back with pains that George Bush don't like, man.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, the BuzzFlash today in one of their editorials mentioned something that I just touched on. Well, they didn't mention it. They wrote about it. Something I touched on. One of the people sitting on the stage at the service for Coretta Scott King was the governor of Georgia, Sonny Perdue. And y'all not being from Georgia, you don't understand that this puffy racist pig, how he got elected governor of Georgia. The governor preceded him, Roy Barnes, had made an effort, a Democrat, had made an effort to remove from the Georgia flag, a section of the Georgia flag, the Confederate stars and bars. To a lot of people here in Georgia, that would be the same as having the Nazi swastika occupying part of the flag of Germany. Now, whether you agree with that or not is immaterial. To a lot of folks here in Georgia, that's what it would feel like. That's what it felt like. So Roy Barnes, a Democrat, conservative Democrat, but what he did, he took design entries, and they changed the flag and removed the stars and bars. Finally got rid of it after 130 years since the South had its ass handed to it because it refused to, well, I don't even want to get into it. But anyway, Sonny Perdue decided to run against Roy Barnes, and one of the key planks in his platform was he was going to bring back the Confederate flag. Yes, sir, I'm going to bring it back. And the knuckle draggers down here, the real dumbass white people out in rural Georgia, which is everything except Atlanta. Oh, I know, there's Savannah and there's Augusta. I understand. But everything is just hillbillies out here. I mean, it really is. Just hillbillies. And I mean that in a real derisive sense, real derogatory as I can make it. If there was a white term, a term for white people that was equal to the N-word for black folk, I would use it, okay? And I could get away with it because I'm white, or predominantly white. But anyway, so Sonny Perdue runs on the platform, he's going to bring back Southern flag, Southern heritage. According to a November 9th article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, after this rotund, puffy bastard stole the election, he had a party. And at the party, he bastardized King's most noble rhetoric to as BuzzFlash puts it, to herald the arrival of a newborn Georgia Confederate state. See, Sonny Perdue, we're going to get rid of all these Democrats and the Negroes and as many Jews as we can. And hell, even the Catholics, I don't like any of them. You know, they're not from here. But at the party, Perdue borrowed Martin Luther King's famous oratory, Free at Last, Free at Last, Thank God Almighty, and Free at Last. Perdue used that to underscore the end of Democratic Party dominance in Georgia. One of Perdue's supporters at the party, standing in the background, this is on television, waved the flag emblazoned with the Confederate battle emblem, and Perdue made the statement. You know, he kind of raised his pudgy arms up in the air, this old ugly white man, and he said, free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last, free from the Democratic Party. So not only is he a racist pig, but he has to underscore his racism that way, by mocking the famous speech given by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now, as BuzzFlash points out, how strange that we didn't hear the right-wing national media punditocracy endlessly proclaiming that the Republican Party in Georgia had blown it, like they said about the funeral, right? How odd that we didn't hear that the future of the Republican Party and Bush's standing might be hurt by the incendiary race-baiting implications of Perdue's victory and racially divisive dishonoring Dr. King, of Dr. King in his home state. This is Dr. King's home state too, right? So it's just, I don't know. BuzzFlash went on to say, it barely merits a mention in the papers. After all, this is also a Georgia election where a draft-dodging Congressman Saxby Chambliss, who urged that Muslims be stopped from entering Georgia, beat a true American military hero who lost three limbs in Vietnam. BuzzFeed says you can forget all that nonsense about how angry white males resent politicians who avoided the Vietnam War. The southern angry white males keep voting for Republicans who ran Yellow Belly from fighting in foreign wars. Most white southern men are cowards. They really are. Most of them are cowards. And they hide behind this, I don't know. It's you have to live down here to understand this. You really do. You have to be here. You have to be here to understand it. There are very few native-born white Southerners who are in this neo-Confederacy movement or just white Southerners in general. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying most. That's 50% plus one, if you want to get picky. Most white male Southerners are cowards.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
As a concept, compassionate conservatism combining big tax cuts with big government spending was always pure snake oil, something for nothing, too good to be true, trust fund politics. Once the wastrel W had blown away the surplus with wars of choice, lobbyist kickbacks, smashed up cities, and a reckoning had to come in the sober light of morning. Well, it's morning in America, and compassion is out. Callousness is in. You see, those temporary tax cuts meant to jumpstart the 2001 post-bubble economy now have to be made permanent to, what's their excuse this week? A right to keep the economy strong. Who will pay for this strength? Future generations in the form of interest payments on the debt and the poor, the sick, the elderly, the disabled. America may be addicted to oil, but W is addicted to tax cuts for his rich base. It's time for the American people to perform an intervention before it's too late. I suggest November 2006. I'm Katrina VandenHeuvel from The Nation for Air America. For more, go to thenation.com.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The FBI passed a tip along to British authorities about a potential terrorist who later carried out one of the London Transit System suicide bombings last summer. Sources say a terror informant arrested in 2004 identified one of the bombers as a possible threat, but the tip was too vague, they said, to stop the deadly attacks in London last July. Two of those bombers briefly put under surveillance by Britain's MI5 security agency in 04. The operation was halted when security services decided the men did not pose an immediate threat. They were among four men who later blew up three subways and a double-decker bus, killing themselves and 52 commuters. The Bush administration's done an apparent about-face on how much it wants to reveal about the domestic spying program. It briefed members of the House Intelligence Committee today on how the controversial program works. The committee chairman called it a comprehensive explanation of the program. The White House has been under heavy pressure from lawmakers who wanted more information. Many rejected the implication that they couldn't be trusted with national security secrets. That shift came after Republican Congresswoman Heather Wilson of New Mexico, who chairs a subcommittee that oversees the National Security Agency, broke with the Bush administration and called for a full review of the program. She also wants the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to be updated to take the new technology into account. Two senators who are pushing ethics reform appeared together today after they had a brief falling out. Arizona Senator John McCain, Illinois' Barack Obama patted each other on the back and exchanged compliments at a Senate hearing. The public display came just days after McCain wrote an angry letter charging Obama was more interested in scoring political points than in working on the ethics issue together. Obama called McCain his pen pal. The two say they will support separate ethics proposals to try to control so-called earmarks. Those are lawmakers' pet projects slipped into bills at the request of individual members. It is believed to be the first time the U.S. government decided to let an American be tried in the new Iraqi legal system. The American, a naturalized U.S. citizen, is suspected of being a senior operative of insurgent leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. His lawyers say he is not guilty, and they say if he is turned over to the Iraqis, he could be tortured. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 6:30 before the hour. Before we get to the Bush budget cuts and some of the sound out of his punkin' mouth today, let's do a few calls here real quick. All right. Let's start with Brian in New Jersey. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I listen as much as I can. I'm in a band, so it's kind of hard to catch your show. But I was kind of surprised that I'm listening tonight for the first time in like a week or two. Uh-huh. And I heard you definitively say that you now agree that the Bush crime family is behind 9/11. I was just wondering exactly what was the final straw that made you say that on the air. Like what, you know? What
I don't think there was any particular final straw. For the past 3.5 years or longer, I have, I've had questions about this. About what happened on September 11, 2001, and why it happened. And I spent the past 3.5, 4 years trying to read everything I could get my hands on, pro and con. The people who resist the idea of Bush being involved make a compelling argument. But when you destructure or devolve their argument, you're left with, in my opinion anyway, some inescapable conclusions. We've devoted so much of the recent programs to this topic. Loose Change, this movie that's out on DVD right now,
right.
is another thing that, you know, I mean,
yeah.
it all fits into the puzzle. So
I absolutely agree with you. Actually, I was on your program like 3 or 4 months ago, and I gave out my website, which more or less has all of the videos you could ever want, like simple 30-second videos that like prove it. And your listening audience was so big that it crashed my website, but I revamped it, and I was just wanting to put it out there again.
Sure, go ahead.
It's a forum that you guys, you know, people can talk about it. So it's more than just giving information. You can actually talk. I have conservatives on there too that I argue with, so it's a lot
right.
of fun. It's just brainwashedamerica.com.
Brainwashedamerica.com.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all right.
I think you'll enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. It's very easy. You could probably get through it in 30 minutes or less, and it's very self-explanatory. So.
Well, on the other hand, you know, I'm not going to use the program here as a pulpit to try to convince people. I think you that Bush complicity in this event 4 years ago. I think almost 5 years ago now. I think a person has to come to that conclusion. On their own.
Well, yeah, that's what I try and do with the site, because I'm more or less, I don't try and blame Bush, because I don't think Bush is smart enough to do it. I mean, it's obviously the Project for a New American Century and all the people that are behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of go into, like, just very simple arguments, like one or two premises, and then my conclusion. And from there, if they want to not agree with me, they're more than welcome to write. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'll either write back or, you know, somebody else will write back, or they'll just be ignored, or maybe, I mean, I've definitely converted a bunch of people. If I can convince my grandma, I can convince anybody, I think. So.
Brainwashedamerica.com.
Yep, that's it.
All right. Well, thanks, Brian.
Thanks
for checking
Mike.
In.
You're awesome, by the way.
Well, okay. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Jesse is calling, our friend from TVNewsLies.org. Hey, Jesse.
Hello. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Mike, are you feeling like the John McCarthy character in The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, trying to warn people about the pods we have running this country?
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people who probably feel it more than I do, but yeah, I've had that sense for about the past 6 or 7 years. You know, dear God, look what's coming.
Scary. Mike, I want to make a little announcement, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
We're doing a free presentation of Loose Change in New York City this weekend at the Pioneer Theater. And if anybody wants free passes, and I'm trying to invite police, firemen, law enforcement people, military, that's the target audience, and media folks, if they write to me at TVNewsLies.org, jesse@TVNewsLies.org, I'll reserve some seats for anybody that wants to come. And if anybody does have events that they need a speaker to explain the realities behind the events of that day, I would gladly make appearances, and I've been doing it. And we got to get the truth out there, Mike. This
mm-hmm.
is not business as usual.
Where are you doing this? What day?
It's this Saturday night at 9:00 at the Pioneer Theater, but we're reserving seats, so.
Mm-hmm.
If people write to me at jesse@tvnewslies.org and tell me how many people they'd like to bring down, it's a free showing with discussion. We're even going to be serving refreshments.
Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at tvnewslies.org. Jesse?
I can write to me on any of the addresses, but Jesse is the easiest one to get to me at. But
You phased out there for a second. How are you spelling your first name for people?
Yeah, you got it right. Jesse. J-E-S-S-E.
Okay. Jesse at TVNewsLies.org. Okay. And that's where they get information. Now, where is is it the Pioneer Theater? Where is that?
Yeah, the Pioneer Theater. I'll give you the address here. It is on 3rd Street between Avenues A and B in Manhattan in New York City.
It's not far from the Raven.
But, yeah. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of good films out. There's a lot of great presentations. Loose Change is a pretty impressive one for getting people to fall off the fence onto the side of reality. It's very hard to argue with what you're looking at in that mm-hmm. film.
And yet, I've noticed in some discussion threads on various websites of people who heard me talking about this earlier in the week or last week, trying to deconstruct my argument, which is fine. I don't have any problem with somebody trying to or succeeding in deconstructing what I have to say. Like I said, on that issue. Like I said, I think people have to come to a conclusion one way or the other on their own after a fair evaluation of all the evidence. What's out there that supports the Bush crime family's point of view? What's out there that supports the opposing point of view that this was, in fact, an operation perpetrated by the Bush crime family? So it's a classic situation where either side or both sides can present a point of view. Now, Bush doesn't present any point of view. It's just, take my word for it, this is what happened. And that's not, I mean, that's an opinion, but I guess it is a point of view, but there is nothing offered other than, take my word for it, this is what happened. Whereas on the other side, the people who are challenging that position, I think, are offering all sorts of if not evidence, certainly enough theories that, taken as a whole, left me with Jesus, I can't accept the official story anymore, I can't do it. Unless I want to bend my mind to the point where it will fit into a little envelope someplace. What happened to Jesse? Did we lose Jesse? Oh, damn. Jesse, we lost you. I don't know why we lost you.
All right. You got me back?
Okay, there you are. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell is going on here. It's either our system or your phone. But anyway, this Saturday night, 9 o'clock, Pioneer Theater, down in Alphabetville.
You got it. And once again, anybody wants to reserve free tickets, they can definitely contact me at tvnewslives.org. And we're going to do it again. If there's a young man, James Richards, who's sponsoring the event. He's doing this out of his own pocket, and we're not charging. We're trying to get people to wake up and spread the word. And, this is once again, not business as usual. This is real serious stuff. And the crime family that you described is an understatement.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Jesse, thanks for checking in. It's always good to hear from you. Take care, okay?
Thanks for doing what you're doing, Mike. Take care.
All right. Go to the website, tvnewslies.org, Jesse at tvnewslies.org. Free stuff, man. free stuff that will possibly, if you're open to it, reorder your mind. If you are curious, if you are willing to hear or see a presentation that raises fact, you can reject the facts. That's fine. It's up to you. Vince Novak, I can say his name because he's got a blog. He's a blogger from South Georgia. He sent me this regarding the white people, white males here who are cowardly knuckle draggers. He says, Mike, the subject line says, not all knuckle draggers. Mike, just thought I'd remind you, we're not all knuckle dragging Neanderthals. We actually have a decent local Democratic Party presence down here in Kingsland, Georgia. Of course, we're only 3 miles from Florida. Although I could leave the state, my options are stay here and deal with Baby Bush. Oh well. And then his under his name, I don't know where you got this, Vince, but I like it. Here's what it says: there are four boxes to use in the defense of liberty: soap, ballot, jury, ammo. Use in that order. Starting now.
Got my grandma when she was working for the mob. Brainwash you while you're sleeping, while in your traffic jam. Brainwash you while you're weeping, while still a baby in your brown. Brainwash by the military, brainwashed under duress. Brainwash by the media, brainwash by the press. Brainwash by computer,
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. from Alex in Bayside, Queens. Hey, Brother Mike, why don't you remind the right-wing wackos when Jimmy Carter was at Ronald Reagan's funeral and he sat through speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker referred to his presidency as a failed presidency and how they praised Reagan for saving the country. Where was the outrage then? Well, Alex, I understand, but you know, you're trying to impose logic, compassion, rationality, truth on Republicans. You can't do that. They are a sneaky clutch of, well, whatever they are. Bush, remember what Bush said in the State of the Union address? We strive to be a compassionate, decent, hopeful society. And the next day, according to Derek Jones, writing in the Boston Globe, I believe, the next day he and his fellow Republicans ambushed the poor. What did they do? Well, there's the budget's out there. It's already been approved by the House, and I think it's just been approved by the Senate, so it's going to become the rule of law, as Republicans like to say. The Republican House last week narrowly passed a $39 billion in budget cuts for Medicaid, Medicare, student loans, and child support. These sons of bitches, you know, this is what makes me cuss on the air, curse on the air, say bad words. I just get so angry. The Republican majority Senate had already passed the cuts. Roy Blunt, this twit who was the acting Republican House Majority Leader, said at the time, quote, once again, House Republicans are on record as defending budget discipline. We have achieved $39 billion in savings while streamlining the government, end quote. And as Derek Jackson says, that's a cutthroat lie. Everyone knows the cuts are meant to fund $70 billion in tax breaks for the wealthy. I hate these people so deeply. I hate their hypocrisy and their sneakiness and their cowardice. That's the thing. If they were Republicans like Barry Goldwater, who would step out and say, hey, Malloy, you're a son of a bitch, let's fight, I'd respect them, but they don't. They're cowards. They eat dead things. They skulk about at night. They smell badly. They're Republicans. They're sneaks. The nonpartisan, according to Derek Jackson, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimated last week that the cuts in Medicaid, for poor folk, would result in 13 million people paying higher prices for prescription drugs by 2010 and 20 million people by 2015. The Congressional Budget Office predicts that cuts at the federal level will force already strapped states to impose premiums on 900,000 Medicaid enrollees by 2010 and 1.3 million by 2015. Similarly, 900,000 enrollees will see their benefits cut. Benefits that would take care of teeth, eyes, mental health. You selfish, sneaky, stinky bastards, all of you. All of you Republicans, you make me ill. You make me sick. I hate to be in the same piece of ground with you. God. Derek writes, the particularly vicious nature of the Medicaid cuts comes in three particular sentences in the Congressional Budget Office's report. On prescription drugs, it said, quote, about one-third of those affected would be children, and almost half would be individuals with income below the poverty level. On cost sharing for non-prescription services, it said half of those enrollees affected would be children. On the people who would be driven out of coverage altogether, the report said about 60% of those losing coverage would be children. You filthy sons of bitches. I hate you so much, you sneaky, filthy Republicans. And I'll tell you something, you know, y'all make this big issue about your God and your Savior and so on and so forth. Well, if these phantoms do exist, when the time comes when you meet them, they're going to slice and dice you and cast you into that lake of fire that you tell all the rest of us we're condemned to head toward. Slicing up children. Ah, you filthy animals. This, as Derek Jackson writes, the cuts are a prescription for making the exploding crisis in health care much worse. When Bush ran for president in 2000, the nation's uninsured numbered 39 million. It rose to 45 million in 2004. It is predicted Two medical researchers, University of California, San Diego, project the number to increase to 56 million by 2013. And as Derek Jackson writes, the nation is already at a state where, according to the Centers for Disease Control, uninsured children are 10 times more likely not to have a usual source of health care and 3 times more likely not to have seen a doctor of any kind in a calendar year. Damn you. Damn you, Republicans. Damn you, conservatives. Damn you to hell.
Compassionate conservative, my ass, in executions unsurpassed, surplus gone so fast, divided, not united. What's he want to do now? What's he going to try? Does he really think on getting his knife? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee? I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Please apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
border to border and coast to coast. The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
26 before the hour. Yeah, we're going to do the reading tonight. We do it every night. Just some nights we put it in different hours. That'll be coming up in a little while, 1984. What does the Democratic Party stand for? You hear that a lot. Howard Dean has an answer. Do you want to hear it? Here's the answer, according to Howard Dean. One, American jobs that will stay in America using energy independence to generate those jobs. Two, a strong national defense based on telling the truth to our citizens, our soldiers, and our allies. Three, honesty and integrity to be restored to government. Four, a health care system that works for everybody, just like they have in 36 other countries. And five, a strong public education system so we can bring optimism and opportunity back to America. All right, that certainly, you know, that gets my vote. Now, six should be fielding candidates who will remain true to the above five without wavering one inch. And seven, fielding candidates who will call Republicans the evil sons of bitches that they really are, no matter the consequences. Better to let the American public know what we're dealing with than to try to hide and duck and cover and sneak like Republicans do in order to get elected. So I'm right there with you, Howard. I'm right there with you, Governor Dean. I got it. I'm right there with you. I'm going to tape this up here on the wall, and we will refer to it periodically. Bush. Talking about the budget and deficit reduction in New Hampshire, where the newspapers ripped him a new body orifice. The liberal papers called him an evil bastard. The conservative papers said he didn't go far enough. Gosh, some days a neo-Nazi just can't win, huh? This is toward the end of Raisin Brain's speech this morning, after the rundown on his budget, which can basically be summed up as more cash for war, less cash for peace, and basic human needs. But what do you expect from a vampiric war monster? After trying to outline the compassion in his plan, he had this summary. It's your basic Rovian unintended irony.
So that's it. That's why I hope you get an idea why I submitted the budget I submitted. It's, you know, the budget's really kind of generally are numbers. They look at numbers. But you got to understand, I look behind the numbers and see quality of life issues.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so the budget, you'll hear numbers this, numbers that. But you got to know that those of us who put it together really do see the human dimension behind good budgeting.
And that's why I've cut $40 billion to students, the elderly, the poor, and children, because I hate the little bastards. I only love children when they are a blastocyst floating around inside some woman's dark, moist womb. Once they become actual human beings, I hate the little sons of bitches. I hate them. I want to cut their throats, literally and figuratively. As soon as they're old enough, I want to send the little bastards off to die for my oil wars. I hate children. I hate them. I hate old people. I hate you sick people.
They're kind of tasty on a cracker.
Now, leaving New Hampshire, he scurried back to D.C. like a huge bug to continue his assault on the elderly, the poor, students. He signed the Deficit Reduction Act, which includes over $1 billion in cuts to Medicaid, $11.9 billion sucked out of student loan subsidies, and a whopping $35.9 billion slash from Medicaid, Medicare. I don't know how much more compassion we can stand.
My budget funds our priorities, starting with funding the United States military.
Yeah, okay.
Promoting alternative sources of energy.
Oh, bulls.
Investing in math and science education and basic research.
Oh, stop.
And helping to care for the poor and the elderly. The bill I signed today restrains spending for entitlement programs.
That'd be the poor and the elderly.
While ensuring that Americans who rely on Medicare and Medicaid continue to get the care they need.
You liar!
The budget next year proposes another $36 billion in savings on Medicare.
Savings?
And more than $1 billion in savings on Medicaid.
Savings?
The Deficit Reduction Act makes important improvements to federal student loan programs.
Improvements?
The bill cuts excess government subsidies to lenders.
What?
And makes other reforms that will help us reduce overall student loan costs by about $22 billion.
Oh, thank you, Jesus! With all the savings and improvements, I wonder why the poor, the elderly, and the students aren't out rejoicing in the streets
Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, George. Thank you for saving me from the sins and iniquities of wanting to eat and have my medicine. Thank you, Lord. I hate this guy.
Just in case the poor welfare recipients thought that Bush left them off the list of compassionate conservative improvements to their lives.
Deficit Reduction Act also reauthorizes welfare reform for another 5 years.
Mm.
By reauthorizing welfare reform with charitable choice, we'll help millions more Americans move from welfare to work.
Whoops.
The message of the bill I signed today is straightforward.
Yeah.
By setting priorities and making sure tax dollars are spent wisely,
America can be compassionate. And responsible at the same time.
Spending restraint demands difficult choices.
Yet
making those choices is what the American people sent us to Washington to do.
I see. Okay. Boy, you sound really interested, really convinced. What's the matter? Miss your morning line of cocaine? By reauthorizing welfare reform with charitable choice, we will help millions more Americans move. Do you know what charitable choice is? That's one of those deals where the faith-based community, you know, the Dominionists, the Christians who will, in a heartbeat, slice the throat of a Muslim, a Jew, a Hindu, or a liberal follower of Christ. Charitable choice. Whose choice? Who's making the choice? This is the payoff to these religious Neanderthals, these Christ beaters, these Bible thumpers, the ones who want to snatch your baby and toss it into hell. Making these choices is what the American people sent us to Washington to do. We didn't send you to Washington, you crazy, crazy freak. But that's topic for another day, in another lifetime. But that's the way it is in Bush world. You know, just let me stand here and lie for a while because you people are not going to challenge me. You wouldn't dare. I am the president, and Uncle Dick tells me I can say this stuff and get away with it. And my Alberto tells me I can torture people and murder on U.S. territory and get away with it. And my other uncle, the one that likes the things that go boom, 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 Uncle Donnie, he tells me nobody can mess with me because I've got nuclear arsenals. And they all protect me and they all take care of me. So, you know, you people who are out there on Medicaid and Medicare and students and you scummy welfare recipients and you people that need help paying for your prescription drugs, especially the children. You know, I think about your little asthmatic bastardy children. You know, if you were a good American and supported me, I'd lay hands on your child and the asthma would go away. But in the meantime, since you don't support me, screw you. I'm going to take away the money for your kids' inhalers. You don't need that. Well, what does that stuff cost? $45 a pop? You can afford it. If you can't afford it, let your kids suffocate. I'm a compassionate Christian conservative. My name's George Bush. And you old bastards on Medicaid that are getting chemotherapy, you're going to die anyway. You're going to die anyway. I'm pulling that. Don't need it. And you old farts on Medicare, although I'm not supposed to call you an old fart because you people vote, but it doesn't matter anymore because we got that taken care of too. But you old farts on Medicare that need your BP medicine and need your Lipitor or whatever that stuff is or need your diabetic medicine, screw you. You're going to die anyway. I got rich folks who put me in office. I got to take care of them. That's my priority. When I talk about compassionate conservative, what the hell you think I'm talking about? I'm compassionate to my posse. Not to you people. And you students, I've been telling you little student creeps over and over again to go to those two-year junior colleges built out there that look like boxes in your neighborhood. Go in there and get yourself a trade skill. Small engine repair is good. That's a good one. Go in there and get your little 2-year degree and get yourself a meteorological degree and get, you can go to work at a TV station, be a weather person. Go do that. This country is in the grips of I don't know. What the Democratic Party stands for, Howard Dean's answer in 30 seconds. 1, American jobs that would stay in America using energy independence to generate those jobs. 2, a strong national defense based on telling the truth to our citizens, our soldiers, and our allies. 3, honesty and integrity to be restored to government. 4, a health care system that works for everybody, just like they have in 36 other countries. 5, a strong public education system so we can bring optimism and opportunity back to America.
With something simple like 1 and 1 ain't 3, and 2 plus 2 will never get you 5. There's fractions and my subtraction, and X don't equal Y, but my homework is bound to multiply. Math sucks.
And so I've submitted a plan that not only reduces the rate at the bottom, but raises the top rate as well.
Hate this stuff so much. Sometimes I think that I don't know that much.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.
You know, it's amazing how many things you can do online these days. Plastic surgery online is still a few years off, but I bet they're working on it. And what about doing all your car insurance business online? Well, it's already here. At Geico.com, you can do most everything. Change drivers, change cars, change coverage, change your oil. I made that last one up. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
neocons. Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's 10 before the hour. I didn't see this in the Washington Post, but who sent this to me, Nancy? James Webb. Name ring a bell? He's a former Marine. He served in Vietnam, was awarded the Navy Cross, Silver Star, 2 Bronze Stars, 2 Purple Hearts. Boy, aren't the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth going to have fun with it. He's also, he served as Ronald Reagan's Secretary of the Navy. Okay, you with me? James Webb, Reagan's Secretary of the Navy, heavily decorated Marine combat veteran, said yesterday he will seek the Democratic Party nomination to run against the Republican Senator George Allen in Virginia. Webb said in an interview, I don't wake up in the morning wanting to be a U.S. senator. I wake up every morning very concerned about the country. We need to put some focus back in our foreign policy, a different focus, and on and on. This is a guy who called Oliver North a chronic liar back in 1994 when Senator Charles Robb was running for re-election over Oliver North. So what do you think of that, huh? What do you think of that? You little right-wing snot asses. I'm telling you, eventually, all that's going to be left are, in the Republican Party, are white Southern men who wear the pointy sheets and their hose, the ones who are afraid to speak up. James Webb, Reagan's Navy Secretary, says he's going to run as a Democrat for United States Senator from Virginia. Oh, Jesus. Here's his website, draftjamesweb.com. Draftjamesweb.com. He's getting all kinds of comments here. You ought to go check it out, draftjamesweb.com. Comment from Alexandria, Virginia said, quote, when the pundits and critics point out that you aren't a real Democrat, just paraphrase Ronald Reagan and say, I didn't leave the Republican Party, they left me. Or paraphrase Zell Miller, right? This cracks me up. Now, we had Webb on the program one time, I think when we were in Chicago, I believe. Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. And wasn't he on the 9/11 commission? That's not a point in his favor. But what was he on? So he's involved in a cover-up, or he was afraid to do anything. Maybe as a senator, he won't be afraid to. Now I don't know. Was Webb? No, maybe I've got it wrong. Somebody will email me. But Reagan's Secretary of the Navy, Reagan's Secretary of the Navy, has had enough of Tom DeLay and George Bush and Dick Cheney and these other killers. And he's decided to become a Democrat. Will he be the kind of Democrat I like? Probably not. I don't care. Not in this case. I really don't care. I can't vote in the Senate race in Virginia anyway. This is great. But the part of it that will be interesting, the Republican chicken hawks, the cowards, the white male Republicans, all of whom are cowards, but especially here in the South. The Knight Riders and the Sheets and the Klan and the Confederate Stars and Bar, you know, the real cowards live down here. But all Republican men are basically cowards. So let's see what they do with this guy. Former Marine. He got the Navy Cross, Silver Star, 2 Bronze Stars, 2 Purple Hearts. They'll go after the Purple Hearts first, these evil sons of bitches. It doesn't make any difference that he served as Reagan's Secretary of the Navy. Doesn't make any difference. You know, one day, one of these veterans is going to be running as a Democrat, and some snot-ass right-winger in a garrison cap is going to say the wrong thing. And the candidate, the Democrat, the combat veteran, is going to reach out and grab one of these people by their thick, ugly, fat-encrusted necks and choke them to death. You know that? You're going to say, you have a problem with me? You're going to challenge my medals? You're going to challenge my combat duty? Okay. But before you do that, I'm going to kill you real quick. So let me kill you and then go ahead and challenge anything you want. Don't you see that coming? I do. Reagan's Secretary of the Navy. You go, James. You go, James Webb. Oh, my God. What the Democratic Party stands for. Howard Dean's answer in 30 seconds. One, American jobs that will stay in America using energy independence to generate those jobs. Two, a strong national defense based on telling the truth to our citizens, our soldiers, and our allies. Three, honesty and integrity to be restored to government. Four, a health care system that works for everybody, just like they have in 36 other countries. Five, a strong public education system so we can bring optimism and opportunity back to America. Okay, well, I can certainly get behind that. We're about ready for a break here. When we come back, we are going to, in this the third hour tonight, we're going to be doing the reading from 1984 and also the cartoons that Muslims around the world have found extremely offensive and have demonstrated that sense of offensiveness by a lot of activity. Let's put it that way. People are dying over this. Embassies are being attacked. People are rioting. Let's talk about it when we come back. You want to? Phone number here is 866-303-2270. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America.
America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Well, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. A chemical scare Wednesday evening forced everyone out of a U.S. Senate office building. A Capitol Police spokeswoman said chemical alarms in the Russell office building sounded after sensors detected a possible nerve agent, but a second test came back negative. There were about a dozen senators and around 200 staffers in the building, and they were all taken to a nearby garage. America is winning the war against drugs. This from federal drug czar John Walters.
What we've seen since 2001 is a encouraging 19% reduction in teenage drug use nationwide, 700,000 fewer young people using illegal drugs.
Walters spoke in Denver to release the 2006 National Drug Strategy, citing three top priorities. They are stopping drug use before it starts, healing America's drug users, and disrupting the market for illegal drugs. He says today's pot is more potent than ever, and that teens who smoke it are getting started at a younger age than ever before. President Bush has signed legislation designed to reduce the ballooning federal deficit by about $40 billion over 5 years.
This important piece of legislation restrains federal spending, and it will leave more money in the pockets of those who know how to use it best, the American people.
Critics say the measure makes deep cuts in vital social programs and hurts the poor. In a White House signing ceremony, Bush praised national economic growth and said the economy is strong and getting stronger. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says Iran and Syria have deliberately inflamed Muslim anger over the cartoon depictions of the Prophet Muhammad. That Muslim anger has sparked deadly protests in Afghanistan, Lebanon, and Somalia. On a related front, three editors and a reporter have quit their jobs at the New York Press after the paper decided to leave out a reprint of the controversial Prophet Muhammad cartoons. Former editor Tim Marchman says American Muslims should not be rioting at all.
Well, it's obscene. The idea that American Muslims would react with violence to this kind of imagery is absurd.
Marchman says the press has an obligation to not gratuitously offend and at times the right to criticize what's wrong in society. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. I don't know how much time we can give to this Muslim desecration of the Prophet Muhammad story, but I think it needs some attention. Thomas from Amherst, Massachusetts, emailed me earlier today and suggests that the Muhammad cartoons issue are another, like 9/11, PSYOPs mission on European and Muslim on the European and Muslim world, and as Chomsky would say, an attempt to manufacture consent and military support for a late March U.S.-Israel-led attack on Iran. Yeah, well, that thought occurred to me today also, Thomas. Thanks for emailing in. You all know the story by now. The reaction has been astonishing. I think any fundamentalist sect, whether it is a Muslim or Christian or Orthodox Jews or Hindus, whatever, will react the same way given the right stimulus. For example, this guy at what is the something Burl Baptist Church in Kansas, Walderboro, Hillsboro, the one that says God hates fag, Westboro Baptist Church, he feels so offended. Yeah, Reverend Phelps, he feels so offended by this society that he shows up at funerals with his hate-filled signs. Any religion, this is one of the dangers about religion, as far as I'm concerned. Eventually, given the right circumstances and the right stimuli, it will turn on you. It will turn on you and rip your guts out. And if it doesn't turn on you and rip your guts out, it will turn on you and promise you eternal damnation, which, you know, to the believers is even worse.
It just reminds me of one of my favorite things. I saw a T-shirt advertised, and I've got to get it. It said, God hates Fred.
God, Fred Phelps, and God hates Fred. Yeah, I like that. The thing that's going on in Northern Europe, of course, is their inability to assimilate all these different European countries, this influx of people leaving oppressive Islamic states and moving to Europe, which is amazing to me, because then those Muslims who leave oppressive Islamic states go to Germany or England or the Scandinavian countries or France or wherever, and this is the quick synopsis, and then want to reestablish somehow an oppressive Islamic Muslim state, which doesn't make any sense to me. At the same time, the host countries, like, for example, France, are determined to assimilate these immigrants, but at the same time, because they speak a different language, eat different food, have different culture, different customs, ghettoize them. It's a terrible situation. Also, and as far as I'm concerned, this is true. If you're Islamic or if you're Muslim, I don't mean to offend you, but so much of the Islamic faith, as I have read it, and I have a copy of the Holy Quran at home, as I have read it, insists on a coda that, in my opinion, is damn near medieval. It's kind of like fundamentalist Christianity. The same thing. Fundamentalist Christianity also believes or promotes this dominionist Christianity. Denial of rights to women, multiple wives to a patriarchal head of family, just on and on and on. Decisions being made by a religious elite, the priesthood, or those appointed. I do not like any religion. I think they are all murderous, vile, hateful constructs designed specifically to divide and conquer. If you want to talk about spirituality, I've got my doubts about that too. But at least spirituality is not religiosity. I think religion is I've said this so many times, that it's just a hateful construct that was devised basically to ameliorate this strange yet powerful fear of death. I guess that part is evolutionary. Well, So all these constructs are put together. Well, this is heaven. Well, this is paradise. Well, this is nirvana. Well, this is, yeah, you know, whatever. And from that point, that's where it begins. That's where it begins. You can't understand death. What is death? And it goes way back. And, oh, okay, well, death is just, you know, go back to Egyptian mythology, Greek, Roman, whatever. But I have zero respect for religion. I have a lot of respect for people who claim to be operating within a faith and doing good works, although the fundamentalists of Christians would tell you that even good works don't mean anything anymore. But you got to have faith. That's all. Just have faith. It's sick. As far as I'm concerned, people who follow religious doctrine to the point where it affects their daily lives, to me, those people are highly neurotic, possibly mentally ill. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of people listening to this program who consider themselves to be good liberals who are also believers in some religious doctrine. Well, okay, fine. I'm just saying, you know, you think I'm mentally ill. And that's cool. Let's stipulate it. I think you're mentally ill, you think I'm mentally ill, because I am a total non-believer in this nonsense. Okay, we can stipulate that. We can be there. We can be there together and still like each other and still have fun, you know, going on picnics and dances and rock concerts and still work to overthrow the Bush regime. But as far as I'm concerned, all organized religion is nothing more than a con job. A massive, massive, destructive, murderous con job. And I acknowledge there are people who work within those frameworks who aren't that way at all. They're very good natured and want to help and do good things. I would say this is Jimmy Carter. I think Jimmy Carter lives his Christian faith as he sees it, as laid out by Jesus. He lives it. He goes out and does it. And good for him. Good for him. But I still believe that his faith, his religion, not his faith, his religion, is a murderous, destructive, degenerate, anti-human being concept. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry if the words offend you, but that's where I'm at. So, regarding the Muslims getting extremely upset, and anybody who studies the Islamic faith understands that the depictions of the Prophet are simply not supposed to happen. I know there has been medieval art. I know there have been Arabic artists who have depicted the Prophet. So the argument doesn't quite hold up. But Islam, like Christianity and fundamentalist Judaism, also contains within it massive amounts of hypocrisy. And Hinduism. That's another reason religion turns my stomach, organized religion, because it is shot full of hypocrisy. I think about now we're getting a backlash, see? We're getting white Christians in this country and some white Jews in this country who are mocking Islam, mocking the reaction of the Islamists. And yet, these are the same Christians who, when the artist Andre Serrano put together an artistic construct called Piss Christ, where he submerged a crucifix into a container of his own urine to make a statement about the putrefaction of Christianity by people who claim to be Christians. He was, they almost burned him to death. Remember at the Brooklyn Museum of Art, when they had the depiction of the Virgin Mary that contained lumps of, buffalo dung or elephant dung? Which is a medium used by artists in certain African countries. And everybody went, Giuliani threatened to shut them down, pull all of their funding? Come on, see, this is the hypocrisy. And yet these are the same people who can say that Islam, they're crazy people, because they advocate murder and beheadings and terrorism. That's a lie. They don't advocate murder and terrorism and beheadings. They don't. That's George W. Bush. It's insane. That's why, you know, somebody says to me, I'm an ardent believer in blank, fill in the religion. Listen, you sit way over there. I'll sit over here, okay? And try not to talk to me because you frighten me. You frighten me with this nonsense. And look what's going on now in globally. And how the right-wingers... And it was a right-wing Danish newspaper who first published the cartoon. What the hell was the point?
anybody understands the insanity of religious believers. So why poke the bear in the eye?
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's
Out of the crisis and out of the quarrels, tired of this world.
try to find without stepping on one another.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 22 past the hour. And now we find out that an Iranian newspaper says it is going to hold a competition for cartoons on the Holocaust to test whether the West will apply the same principles of freedom of expression to the Nazi genocide against the Jews as it did to the caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad. It's insane. See, this is what happens. This look back through history. You know, you can freak out because I deny all this religious superstitious stuff. I mean, that's fine. Go ahead, freak out. That's cool. I used to freak out in the Baptist church with my grandmother worrying about my ass burning forever in a lake of fire, too. So I understand the freak-out syndrome, trust me. But here we go. It's a competition. The newspaper called Hamshari said the contest would be launched on Friday the 13th and would be co-convened by itself, the newspaper, and the House of Caricatures, which is a Tehran exhibition center for cartoons. You know, it's sick, all of it. If I don't care if you're a Muslim, a Jew, a Hindu, or a Christian, if you follow the hardcore tenets of your religion, I think you're denying your own humanity. That's A. B. I'm more than happy to discuss your religion with you, and as long as you keep it out of my face, I respect the fact that you believe what you believe. I'm not here to proselytize anybody. I couldn't care less. I really couldn't. I hate it, though, when somebody of a certain faith will get in my face and try to proselytize me, or when I have people try to claim that atheism or humanism is in itself a religion. Oh, bat squeeze. It is not. It's a rejection of all this superstitious nonsense. That's all. Now, I know I'm pissing people off tonight. I know I am. And I know I should apologize. And I do apologize insofar as you are so wired into your religious beliefs, that what you're hearing right now is irritating. I understand that. I understand that. It's hell trying to pull those wires out. I understand. And if John Lennon said it, whatever gets you through the night, and I believe that. If you want to believe that heaven consists of some place where it's a huge egg and you sit inside and play the ukulele, fine. If that's your vision of heaven, and if hell is some place populated only by conservatives, okay. That's fine. And I make a lot of allusions to heaven and hell, and I use a lot of religious imagery in this program. So what? You know? When you were in school, didn't you study religious imagery where it concerned the Greeks or the Egyptians or the ancient Chinese or the Incas? Ain't no big thing. Ain't no big thing at all.
I wish all the Sunday comic strips would get involved in this and just do full-on-out comic wars. You know, we could have Nancy and Sluggo in a concentration camp somewhere, and you could get, you know, that family, circus family, you know, going into a mosque and blowing something up.
So what you want is just total worldwide war.
I just think if you carry it to the extreme, you look at the Boondocks and Doonesbury. Why should they be having all the fun? They've already taken them off the comic pages.
I was, as Kathy knows, I was bringing the kid home from Gymboree today, and little afternoon, and tuned into Al Franken's show on the local Air America affiliate here. And he said he was going to read from a cartoon that appears in the Minneapolis Tribune. Called Muhammad, and he explained each and every panel, and it was kind of pointless. And I thought, well, why in the hell is he doing that? And then I got home and opened up the Journal Constitution, and it wasn't Muhammad at all. It was a cartoon in our local paper here. I forget which one it was, Kathy, but it's about, oh, it was Garfield. Garfield is going to smash this ant. Only what Franken said was that Muhammad was going to smash an ant and pulled out something. It was a scroll, and Franken said, I guess that's the Quran. And in the actual cartoon, which was Garfield, it was a rolled up newspaper. And I thought to myself, well, what's the point? What's the point in in Al Franken doing that. And then I thought, well, it's none of my business. I don't care. Whatever he thinks is, whatever he thinks applies, just like we do on this program. No problem. But I don't get any of this. I really don't understand it. The Dutch newspaper that published this, they say it's a freedom of speech issue. Oh, is it? Is it a freedom of speech issue? Then let's have some caricatures of the apocryphal hook-nosed Jew. Let's have some caricatures of Christ on the cross saying to Mary, hey, listen, get me out of here. I got an appointment later on today. Let's do a few of those, and let's see how the Christians and the Jews, let's do one about Hinduism. That disrespects the idea of reincarnation, you know. Let's do that. If the European newspapers are so intent on proving freedom of speech versus religiosity or religious bigotry, okay, go after the Christians and Jews, and let's see what happens.
And let them love a beautiful day.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
With my back pain, it hurt just to think about swinging a golf club.
Back pain can ruin your golf game. That's why you need capsaicin cream, the brand pharmacists recommend most, because its relief starts strong and gets stronger each time you use it. Relief so effective.
It's like the pain was never there. It's unbelievable.
You've got to feel it for yourself. Capsaicin cream. Relief beyond belief.
Now that's a shot.
26 before the hour in the novel, part 1, chapter 6. When we left off last night, Winston Smith had gone home, was writing in his diary again, and he was remembering an encounter he had with a prostitute and how the party of Big Brother was trying to eliminate sex from not just the lexicon, but also from activity of people who lived in Oceania. We'll pick it up there. And the only recognized purpose of marriage was to beget children for the service of the party. Sexual intercourse was to be looked on as a slightly disgusting minor operation, like having an enema. This again was never put into plain words, but in an indirect way it was rubbed into every party member from childhood onwards. There were even organizations such as the Junior Anti-Sex League, which advocated complete celibacy for both sexes. All children were to be gotten by artificial insemination, artsem it was called in Newspeak, and brought up in public institutions. This, Winston was aware, was not meant altogether seriously, but somehow it fitted in with the general ideology of the party. The party was trying to kill the sex instinct, or if it could not be killed, then to distort it and dirty it. He did not know why this was so, but it seemed natural that it should be so. And as far as the women were concerned, the party's efforts were largely successful. He thought again of Catherine. It must be 9, 10, nearly 11 years since they had parted. It's curious how seldom he thought of her. For days at a time, he was capable of forgetting that he had ever been married. They had only been together for about 15 months. The party did not permit divorce, but it rather encouraged separation in cases where there were no children. Catherine was a tall, fair-haired girl, very straight, with splendid movements. She had a bold, aquiline face, a face that one might have called noble until one discovered that there was, as nearly as possible, nothing behind it. Very early in her married life, he had decided, though perhaps it was only that he knew her more intimately than he knew most people, that she had, without exception, the most stupid, vulgar, empty mind that he had ever encountered. She had not a thought in her head that was not a slogan. And there was no imbecility, absolutely none, that she was not capable of swallowing if the party handed it to her. The human soundtrack, he nicknamed her in his open mind, in his own mind, yet he could have endured living with her if it had not been for just one thing, sex. As soon as he touched her, she seemed to wince and stiffen. To embrace her was like embracing a jointed wooden image. And what was strange was that even when she was clasping him against her, he had the feeling that she was simultaneously pushing him away with all her strength. The rigidity of her muscles managed to convey that impression. She would lie there with eyes shut, neither resisting nor cooperating, but submitting. It was extraordinarily embarrassing and, after a while, horrible. But even then, he could have borne living with her if it had been agreed that they should remain celibate. But curiously enough, it was Catherine who refused this. They must, she said, produce a child if they could. So the performance continued to happen, once a week, quite regularly, whenever it was not impossible. She even used to remind him of it in the morning as something which had to be done that evening, which must not be forgotten. She had two names for it. One was making a baby, and the other was our duty to the party. Yes, she had actually used that phrase. Quite soon he grew to have a feeling of positive dread when the appointed day came round, but luckily no child appeared, and in the end she agreed to give up trying, and soon afterwards they parted. Winston sighed inaudibly. He picked up his pen again and wrote, "She threw herself down on the bed and at once, without any kind of preliminary and the most coarse, horrible way you could imagine, pulled up her skirt. He saw himself standing there in the dim lamplight with the smell of bugs and cheap scent in his nostrils, and in his heart a feeling of defeat and resentment, which even at that moment was mixed up with the thought of Catherine's white body, frozen forever by the hypnotic power of the party. Why did it always have to be like this? Why could he not have a woman of his own instead of these filthy scuffles at intervals of years? But a real love affair was an almost unthinkable event. The women of the party were all alike. Chastity was as deeply ingrained in them as party loyalty. by careful early conditioning, by games in cold water, by the rubbish that was dinned into them at school and in the spies and the youth league, by lectures, parades, songs, slogans, and martial music, the natural feeling had been driven out of them. His reason told him that there must be exceptions, but his heart did not believe it. They were all impregnable, as the party intended that they should be. And what he wanted more than to be loved was to break down that wall of virtue, even if it were only once in his whole life. The sexual act successfully performed was rebellion. Desire was thought crime. Even to have awakened Catherine, if he could have achieved it, would have been like a seduction, although she was his wife. But the rest of the story had got to be written down, he wrote. I turned up the lamp. When I saw her in the light, after the darkness, the feeble light of the paraffin lamp had seemed very bright. For the first time, he could see the woman properly. He had taken a step toward her and then halted, full of lust and terror. He was painfully conscious of the risk he had taken in coming here. It was perfectly possible that the patrols would catch him on the way out. For that matter, they might be waiting outside the door at this moment. If he went away without even doing what he had come here to do, it had got to be written down. It had got to be confessed. What he had suddenly seen in the lamplight was that the woman was old. The paint was plastered so thick on her face that it looked as though it might crack like a cardboard mask. There were streaks of white in her hair. But the truly dreadful detail was that her mouth had fallen a little open, revealing nothing except a cavernous blackness. She had no teeth at all. He wrote hurriedly in scrabbling handwriting. When I saw her in the light, she was quite an old woman, 50 years old at least, but I went ahead and did it just the same. He pressed his fingers against his eyelids again. He had written it down at last, but it made no difference. The therapy had not worked. The urge to shout filthy words at the top of his voice was as strong as ever. Chapter 7. If there is hope, wrote Winston, it lies in the proles. If there was hope, it must lie in the proles, because only there and those swarming, disregarded masses, 80% of the population of Oceania, could the force to destroy the party ever be generated. The party could not be overthrown from within. Its enemies, if it had any enemies, had no way of coming together or even of identifying one another, even if the legendary brotherhood existed, as just possibly it might. It was inconceivable that its members could ever assemble in larger numbers than twos and threes. Rebellion meant a look in the eyes, an inflection of the voice, at the most, an occasional whispered word. But the proles, if only they could somehow become conscious of their own strength, they would have no need to conspire. They needed only to rise up and shake themselves like a horse shaking off flies. If they chose, they could blow the party to pieces tomorrow morning. Surely, sooner or later, it must occur to them to do it. And yet, he remembered how once he had been walking down a crowded street when a tremendous shout of hundreds of voices, women's voices, had burst from a side street a little way ahead. It was a great, formidable cry of anger and despair. A deep, loud, oh, that went humming on like the reverberation of a bell. His heart had leapt. It started, he had thought, a riot. The proles are breaking loose at last. When he had reached the spot, it was to see a mob of 200 or 300 women crowding around the stalls of a street market with faces as tragic as though they had been the doomed passengers on a sinking ship. But at this moment, the general despair broke down into a multitude of individual quarrels. It appeared that one of the stalls had been selling tin saucepans. They were wretched, flimsy things, but cooking pots of any kind were always difficult to get. Now the supply had unexpectedly given out. The successful women, bumped and jostled by the rest, were trying to make off with their saucepans, while dozens of others clamored around the stall, accusing the stall keeper of favoritism and of having more saucepans somewhere in reserve. There was a fresh outburst of yells. Two bloated women, one of them with her hair coming down, had got hold of the same saucepan and were trying to tear it out of one another's hands. For a moment they were both tugging, and then the handle came off. Winston watched them disgustedly, and yet, just for a moment, what almost frightening power had sounded in that cry from only a few hundred throats? Why was it that they could never shout like that about anything that mattered? He wrote, "Until they become conscious, they will never rebel. And until after they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious. That, he reflected, might almost have been a transcription from one of the party textbooks. The party claimed, of course, to have liberated the proles from bondage. Before the revolution, they had been hideously oppressed by the capitalists. They had been starved and flogged. Women had been forced to work in the coal mines. Children had been sold into the factories at the age of six. But simultaneously, true to the principles of doublethink, the party thought that the proles were natural inferiors who must be kept in subjection like animals by the application of a few simple rules. In reality, very little was known about the proles. It was not necessary to know much. So long as they continued to work and breed, their other activities were without importance. Left to themselves, like cattle turned loose upon the plains of Argentina, they had reverted to a style of life that appeared to be natural to them, a sort of ancestral pattern.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes. Your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Gosh, time rips by when you have fun, doesn't it? Thanks to the crew in New York who assisted in the production tonight. Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac engineered the show. D. Neal is our associate producer. Also the Gang of Four, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch at White Rose Society, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, all overseen by she who must be obeyed, Catherine Bay, the prophet Catherine. Oh, my God! Marge! Marge! Is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
Well, hello there, friend.
I just got an email from our Arkansas bureau chief.
Oh, yeah?
Wanting to know what was happening with you. So.
Well, ask me what I've been doing the last 6 weeks.
What have you been doing?
I've been working on my vocabulary. Ask me how I've been working on my vocabulary.
How have you been working on your vocabulary?
Well, for at least twice a week, for at least an hour, hour and a half, I've been sitting on the phone trying to get through to somebody flipping a computer to find out what the status of my prescription drug plan is.
Oh, and?
And by so doing, I have increased my vocabulary, but don't ask for a sample because this would be a very short conversation.
Do they have, do these new words have a lot of consonants in them and kind of sounds and stuff like that?
Well, kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of.
I'm telling you, these people, you know, oh, crap.
Yeah, you qualify for the wonderful new Medicare prescription drug plan, right? How's that going, Marge?
Oh, come on. You know, could I get away with some, what do they call them, spoonerisms?
Absolutely, go ahead.
To the geniuses that dreamt up this new program, Miss Enlister, you ain't so muck and fudge. Go in your own jackyard and pack off.
Oh, woo! Push the envelope, Marge.
You let me do that.
Yeah, I did. I should have known better. But
well, I, you know, forgive me, Lord. You know, for I have sinned. But you know,
I'm sure
the crap that's sitting in the White House has come up with another budget that cuts down on things like student loans and the Medicare plan
oh, sure.
And all the rest
oh,
of it.
Oh sure, oh sure. It's awful. It's
by the way. Yeah. Have you seen or met Rex yet?
Have I seen what?
Seen or met Rex.
Rex?
Rex, R-E-X.
No, who's Rex? Is this the new prescription cartoon character?
No, he's from Homeland Security.
Is he Muslim?
He's the one that goes around and talks to little kids on the current, you know, a duck and cover thing.
Rex?
Rex the mountain lion.
Rex the mountain lion.
Yeah, he wears a hat.
A hat.
Yeah. You know, a mountain lion. Isn't that another word for a polecat?
Yeah, I think. Thank God I don't have kids in school right now.
Oh God! You know, he comes out with a budget. You lived in Chicago, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah.
Okay, and you come to know and love Richie Daley.
oh yeah.
He's going through troubles right now, but
well,
he did come up with a statement last week that I have to give him credit for. You know, cities, counties, states can operate with a deficit budget. But these yahoos in Washington, they're up to $1 trillion that, you know, our great-grandkids are still going to be paying for.
Oh, it's awful. It's just awful, Marge. Do you know any Republicans? Do you ever sit down with them and say, look what you have wrought? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You wouldn't want me to get close to a Republican right now, would you?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
You know, I'm a nice person, but I would be tempted to commit mayhem.
Yes, I know that feeling. I'm on intimate terms with that feeling, as a matter of fact, Marge. Well, so do you start the process again tomorrow? You get on the phone and sit there?
Well, you know, I even got the number of the regional office of Medicare in Chicago. And believe it or not, she actually called me back.
Mm.
You know, check and see if there's a full moon someplace.
I will. I will indeed.
And you know, if I'm successful, maybe I'll get an answer back. Because every bloody time I talk to one of these people, you know, I get something just a little bit different.
Right.
Like, I don't know where they hired their staff, but they don't know how to operate a computer, and they don't know, sure as hell, don't know how to read what's on the screen. Because, you know, one person could have told me what was going on the first time I called, you think?
I'm so glad we got you on the air tonight, because you sound like you're like a tea kettle that just needed to have the top moved over a little bit so the steam could come out, right? I'm a little teapot, short and stout.
Tip me over, pour me over.
That's one of Molly's favorite songs.
Right now, I would like something a little bit stronger than a cup of tea. But anyway,
it's
good to talk to you.
Yeah, well, yeah, listen.
And hello to all my friends that have so graciously and generously sent me cards and get well notes and all the rest of it. I'm overwhelmed being around the Mike Malloy Truth Seekers campfire.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm an only child, and I didn't know what a big family was like, but I found out.
They're a good group. And just one thing, don't let so much time go by without phoning in, all right? Because, really, when Kathy called you the other day, it was because we had gotten a whole lot of shaky inquiries, like, what's happened to Marge?
Well, as soon as I get my damn prescription squared away, then I'll go in and get the other side of my neck cleaned out, and then I'll sit down and pour myself a cup of tea and maybe something a little bit stronger, and we'll chat, we'll chew on these.
That sounds good. Marge, take care. Have a good night's sleep, okay?
You take care, too, my friend.
All right, Marge. Thanks for checking in. It's a good place to end the program tonight. I'm sorry if we didn't get to your call. I do apologize. I think what we're going to focus on again tomorrow, because we didn't really focus on it tonight, is this cartoon controversy. So tomorrow night when you call in, if you would, let's go with that topic, because I think there's something in there that needs to be discussed. Okay? Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. All right? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
What would you do if someone you loved vanished without a trace? FBI profiler Pierce Quincy has worked thousands of cases like it, except this time, the missing woman is his partner. The woman he loves, she's gone. And every second counts. Gone by Lisa Gardner, best-selling author of Alone. Discover why critics call Lisa Gardner's thrillers suspense at its most intense. Read Gone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam hardcover.